Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 23rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Motherfucking Geddes.
It's a short week, Bless. So we gotta start it off right. We gotta end it right, pretty much simultaneously. So I'm gonna need some energy. I'm gonna need some fun for this.
I got the energy.
Funny Games Daily.
I got the fun.
The fun. There we go.
Tim,
dream team.
What you been playing this weekend? That's what I want to start off with.
Didn't play much this weekend, honestly. Okay. Thanksgiving, it's a whole thing, a lot of having to get everything all set up and shit. So yeah, not too much fun had this weekend.
Have you touched that Age of Calamity?
I have been playing a little bit of Age of Calamity, and I'm into it.
Okay.
It's not what I expected. It is
How so?
More complex than I expected it to be, just based on what I know of Musou's, but it is simpler than it looks. Because it looks so much like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So it's kind of caught in a weird place for me where I'm enjoying it for sure.
I started it last night and I'm in a similar place of not knowing what to expect really, because I've never been a Musou person. Mm-hmm. And so like, first off, switching to Age of Calamity from playing Miles Morales, actually no, it was Spider-Man Remastered on the PS5 where it was like 60 FPS, you know, PS5 graphics, super smooth gameplay, and on the same monitor, switching to my Switch and then switching to Age of Calamity, I was like, whoa, next gen is here, because this looks, whoa, like, it is, like, it looks like the, you know, when you walk into, like, the Faerun Woods or whatever in Breath of the Wild, you walk into, like, the Lost Woods and mm-hmm. and it's off frame and all that
chugs.
Stuff. Yeah, chugs. It felt like that off the bat, which, ooh. Like,
I didn't have that experience, but I get what you're saying.
And I think it was the effect. I think it was more so the effect of going from smooth Spider-Man to playing Age of Calamity on the Switch.
We're
super spoiled. But once I got into it a bit, I was like, all right, I see where this is going. This is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like they really nailed the Breath of the Wild aesthetic. And then also like a lot of the action-y special moves and like different options that you have for different characters. Like it's really exciting. Like it's really hype. Like, I'm all about it.
Yeah, it's and that's the thing. I'm going to stick with it because it's fun. Like, there's just moments where it's like, it's what I love about video games. You know, it kind of just feels rewarding to be clicking the buttons. And that's really all you should have to ask for. But oftentimes, games aren't fun in that way, right? Like, it's like they can nail story. They can nail, like, the look and all this stuff. But it's like, if it isn't fun to actually do, it's kind of missing the whole point of existing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely for sure. Now, to flip that question around, what is the game you're looking forward to now? What's next on your
list? Cyberpunk, man. Mm-hmm. Like, Cyberpunk is the rest of my year. I can't wait for it to come. Can't wait to play it. I have my PC ready. Let's go. I feel like we're going to get codes at any moment. It's leaked, apparently. I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point today.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about PS5 being completely sold out. And we're going to talk about more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, like Tim said earlier, it's a short week. There's no KFGD on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because of Thanksgiving. Tim, what do you have any exciting Thanksgiving plans? I know it's a pandemic, and so you probably can't do what they call it, big supper, grand supper.
the big supper,
the
grand
big
supper.
Supper, the big supper, grand supper.
Last supper is probably what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Which is not a Thanksgiving thing at
all.
It's
not. That's
I know it's not a Thanksgiving thing. But when I think of when I think of a dope Thanksgiving, I think of Jesus in the middle, right? Like I think of the big old
everyone
feast.
Just sitting on one side.
Everybody's sitting on one side. I think of Judas in the back somewhere about to stab some backs, you know?
Thanksgiving to me is always my best friend Curran's birthday, is always November 28th. So it's around Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving weekend's when we celebrate it. And that's the thing that I've been talking about forever, where it's like our annual kind of boys trip of all getting together, playing video games and stuff. This year obviously has to be a little bit smaller of a shindig, but we're looking forward to that, you know, getting a couple of us getting together, playing a shit ton of Super Smash Brothers, and I cannot wait to see how confused they all are when I bust out some Steve and they're like, who the fuck is this guy? What's even happening?
What game is he from? Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and Blackjack. Today brought to you by What the Golf, It's Snow Time, which is available now exclusively on Apple Arcade. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with our number one, Tim Geddes, would it surprise you if I told you that absolutely every PS5 is sold out, according to Sony?
It would not surprise me, but like when you say it like that, it's kind of like, whoa, it's that's like, whoa, insane.
How did we get here in 2020?
I'm excited for the details on this. Like, I haven't read the article yet, so I'm stoked to hear exactly what they mean by this and when is that going to change.
So this is from Sammy Barker at Push Square. According to boss Jim Ryan, speaking with Russian outlet TASS, quote, absolutely everything is sold, end quote. While there has been a trickle of PS5 stock returning to the retail channel this week, it's gone in minutes. And the executive has revealed that after spending much of the year ensuring there's demand for the machine, now he's focused on getting enough devices into the market to meet demand. Quote, everything is sold. Absolutely everything is sold, he said. I spent much of the last year trying to be sure that we can generate enough demand for the product. And now in terms of my executive bandwidth, I'm now spending a lot more time on trying to increase supply to meet that demand, end quote. We're still waiting for a press release on PS5's initial sales figures, but it looks like the company sold every single console it can manufacture. The challenge it now faces is swiftly getting more units into the supply chain because it looks like the product is poised to be difficult to find for the foreseeable future. So, Tim, not many details there. Basically, Jim Ryan stunting and being like, yeah, man, like my job early in the year was to get demand up. Turns out I succeeded and these things are sold out. And that was basically the whole quote there.
And again, not a big surprise here, but I would have liked to see a couple more actual dates of, okay, by January, we'll have X amount more in the wild and blah, blah, blah. Mm. But they're obviously not ready to keep going and keep saying all that stuff. I saw it might have been on the Kind of Funny subreddit or another subreddit I follow that went along with this story of somebody posting a picture that Sony accidentally sent them. Sony sent them their PS5 with an extra DualSense.
Oh, wow.
So like, the box just came with a separate, yeah, it's an accident.
Okay.
And then a week later, they got another box that was another PS5 with another DualSense. And they're like, what the fuck? And then
Corey Cudney
obviously had the disc situation, which I'm surprised we didn't get a follow-up and hear other people have that experience. Because Kevin had that theory of, the disc versus physical of like, they were just like, all right, well, there are less discless versions being made. Was it? I don't like giving Greg credit for anything, though.
I believe so.
I like giving Kevin credit.
It was Kevin who said it.
You deserve the gold star on behalf of Greg's theory.
Oh, that makes 8 for this month so far.
Mm-hmm.
Is the star system back? Are we doing this again?
Davian in the chat says,
just randomly give me stars.
Davian in the chat says, my discless arrived from Sony on release, and it wasn't a mistake. That's interesting. You are the first person I've heard about having a discless version.
This is garbage. Give me my gold star.
Does Greg get gold star? I feel like we need to establish more rules into the gold star.
Right. You're asking a lot of questions. I'm going to give you a gold star to just quiet you down, all right?
That's not how the system works.
Yeah, I just gave... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to give Bless a platinum star. I'm going to give Bless a platinum star to stop asking questions. Thank you.
Holy shit.
Oh, snap. I like this.
Platinum, dude.
Now I understand why Kevin likes these things so much.
Greg loves more than platinum.
This is upsetting. I don't like this. I don't like how this is. I don't like how this is. This didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
I like it.
My theory did play out. More people did put on subreddits that they got disc versions when they ordered discless.
Really? Oh, there you go.
Bye-bye. Have a good show.
Bye.
Bye.
I love
James Holiday.
Pop in. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I like this new system we're working with. James Holiday writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It's like you can and asks, Jim Ryan has claimed that the PlayStation 5 is sold out everywhere, but thousands of players are still trying to get their hands on one. I can see a lower number of early adapters due to less disposable income in the pandemic or PlayStation having difficulty producing enough consoles, but what do you think this says about PS5's release? Did they produce too few, or was this a deliberate plan based off of the COVID-19 pandemic? Tim, when it comes down to the situation right now that we're in, where there are no PS5s available, these things are sold out, people want them, they can't get their hands on them. How did we get here?
I mean, Corona. Like, that's a, like, it's such a simple answer. Did they produce too few? Absolutely. Was that the plan? No way. They're not trying to create some type of false supply and demand
thing. Who would do that?
They would want to, I mean, Nintendo.
Who would do such a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ. But I definitely, they want to get these things. It's all about the install base. Like, they're going to want PS5s in as many households as possible so they can sell us games, right? Like, that's why the PS4 is still getting games, is because everyone's looking at it like, well, why wouldn't we put Horizon Forbidden West on this system as well? Miles Morales, why wouldn't we put it when there's an install base of over 100 million, right? Mm-hmm. So they want to get that install base to move over to the next gen as soon as possible. There's just the sheer reality of where we're at right now, that it's harder to produce things, it's harder to get things in store. Every step of the process is more difficult in these times. So there's no way that they did that on purpose. And it definitely was not a deliberate plan based off the pandemic, from the sense of people having less disposable income. Somebody doesn't give a shit about that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. The pandemic probably being the biggest one, where I remember earlier in the year reporting on stories about PlayStation 5 production. And I think these were coming out of Bloomberg, right? About PlayStation 5 production and how expensive these things are to produce. And then that leading to less PS5s being produced because there are higher costs. And so Sony was expecting less people to show up and actually buy them because they're going to be more expensive than the PS4. I think that combined with COVID kind of putting this this fog on things in terms of what to anticipate. Because, like, you know, all these stories were coming out, I want to say, in like April, March, April, May-ish, right? In the spring. And that's where things started to go. That's when things started to get crazy in terms of the pandemic and work from home and us starting to realize how this is going to affect things in a wider way. Mm-hmm. And so I could see the situation of Sony going, hey, we're going to produce less PS5s because they're going to be more expensive and we're not expecting that many people or as many people to show up for the PS5 as the PS4. Then seeing the ramifications of COVID-19 and then going, all right, we might even have even less people showing up because of disposable income, because of the pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. But then the flip thing happening of, oh, shoot, gaming is seeing an uptick. Like where other industries are seeing a decline, like people are showing up and buying video games and playing video games because it's the
buying
thing to
hardware.
Do. Buying hardware. Buying hardware. Yeah. Yeah. The Switch is seeing its one of its best years ever, right? Like right now. I think that in conjunction with Sony producing less just in general leads to, yeah, what we have now, right? Where these things are sold out, they're hard to get, and even I'm sure even for Sony, they're probably wondering, hey, how quickly are we going to be able to replenish these things, and how quickly are they going to sell out then? Like I'm sure there's a lot of conversations going on right now in terms of what do we do? Like how do we continue to capitalize off this? How do we continue to get these things in hands?
The thing is, like, take Corona out of this entirely, the same situation would exist. Like this is just how things are. Every console launch is like this, and if there's an exception, there's always a reason why it's an exception. We can look at it and be like, okay, well, it was the Wii U, you know. Like when we're talking about these major PlayStation launches, like there's going to be many, many people that want one that don't have their hands on one at launch, no matter what the situation. When you add the coronavirus on top of it, that's going to make this so much more complicated. But I think that they did a way better job than I expected them to. Again, I've said this a couple times. I can't believe it is 2020 and both the Xbox Series X and PlayStation launched. The major sacrifice that was made was Halo Infinite, which granted, huge sacrifice, right? That was definitely missing this launch cycle. But besides that, everything hit. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, a lot of things hit. I feel like so much has gotten delayed in terms of software and in terms of like system features too. Like when we're talking about PlayStation, you know, you're missing expandable storage, you're missing a quick resume feature, which I still have theorized is planned, but they just weren't able to get it out the door. You know, there's still, I mean, if you look online, and this is going to happen regardless, right? But like across both platforms, people are reporting crashes and bugs, and there's the whole rest mode thing that people are scared of because apparently it's crashing systems, and like there's still a lot going wrong that probably could have been bettered if
it wouldn't have.
if
But that's how this works, yeah. though, Bless. If it came out next February, there'd be a whole list of other issues that people have that they're complaining about for good reason, complaints. But it's just like these things need to come out at some point. And so many people were theorizing that these systems weren't going to hit this year. Because when you think back to as far away ago as June at this point, when they were talking about these systems like in a major way and we're getting the PS5 blowout, it felt unreal that months later those systems were actually going to be in homes, and they are now.
I'm still even blown away by it. Like, I remember doing the PS Love You episode with Greg, and we're talking about should they delay the PS5, and I ultimately came down on the side of no, but I think there is still a lot of reasons to point to in terms of, yeah, like, I think in an ideal world, if both Xbox and PlayStation could have delayed till spring, and that would have cost for a better launch lineup, even though I'll give it to PlayStation that they killed their launch lineup. Like, you know, that's not really the big issue in terms of the PlayStation side. I think on the Xbox side, right, like losing Halo is kind of a blow, especially for me now where I'm playing my Xbox and the main game I'm playing is Yakuza, which is an excellent game. Everybody should go play Yakuza Like a Dragon because that game is great. You know, I think there could have been more there, but even when you look at things like system storage, which is the thing I'm going to keep coming back to, because I am appalled by there being no expandable system storage available for PlayStation 5. Like, that's a thing that could have been remedied, I'm sure, by next spring if they had more time to work on it, if they had more breathing room. And like,
we'll see, man.
Games in general, right?
Like, actually gonna come, like, it's,
oh, it's gotta be soon. They cannot sit for, I'm gonna say, a year with this thing not having expandable storage. I think that would be egregious, and I think they know that.
But do they give a fuck? We'll have to wait and
they
see.
Got to, because it's ridiculous. But you're right, we'll have to wait and see. Before we move on, though, I want to hear from you. Do you have any predictions in terms of sales figures? Like, do you have a number in mind in terms of PS5s out there?
No, because that's there's too many factors I don't know. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin to put a number out to even start the conversation. Like, we know there was a couple million, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we know? Like,
I remember somewhere that I'm talking about that it was at least 2 million, but this is definitely a kind of funny, you're wrong thing. I do not have enough information for this to like make a valid assumption.
Yeah. I think I remember the number floating when we're talking about like manufactured. I remember the number floating somewhere from like 7 million to like 11 million of PS5 consoles manufactured, and I mean, if they're saying they're all sold out, then we're probably floating around somewhere in there. But like, I don't know. I'm curious to see. I don't have any predictions because like, this is my first actual like console launch paying like full attention to numbers and all these different things. But you know, if we hit, let's say, 10 million PS5s by the end of the year out in the wild, then wow, like that's cool. Like that's a pretty wild number.
For the PlayStation ecosystem, and that's when we'll start getting PlayStation 5 exclusive games.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, because I want to know, what did the PS4 sell at by the end of 2013? By the end of the first quarter, actually, let's say. By the end of the first quarter, the PS4 being out, how much did it sell? I'm curious. Let's move on. Story number two. Cyberpunk 2077 copies appear to be in the wild. This is from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. The first known instance of leaked final version Cyberpunk 2077 gameplay has appeared. Per users on Reset Era, streamers broadcast around 20 minutes of the game's Nomad Life Path from the beginning of the PS4 version of the game, which has now been taken down in multiple locations. It's confirmation that unpatched copies of the final game are beginning to make their way into players' hands. While we broadly know the beats of the beginning of the game due to various official previews, the stream is a sign that we may begin seeing more meaningful spoilers emerge ahead of the game's launch on December 10th. After The Last of Us Part 2 leaked, spoilers were frequently set in live stream chats, comment sections, and on Twitter as unsolicited replies. If you don't want the game spoiled, it's likely worth beginning to vet where you're looking when checking Cyberpunk-related content. Tim, how worried are you about Cyberpunk spoilers?
I mean, I'm not too worried. I feel like Cyberpunk's the type of game that I don't know enough about characters and story that spoilers would be super impactful to me. It's not like Last of Us where I was tied to characters already, you know, and like their fates and what may or may not happen in the game. Like, if I heard one sentence about a Last of Us 2 spoiler, that would affect my experience with the game, right? Mm-hmm. If I hear, like, I can't really imagine things being spoiled for me in Cyberpunk that are going to affect me in that type of way. I prefer not to be spoiled for sure, but you know, like Adam saying here, it's like you know where to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, this doesn't strike me as dire as The Last of Us Part II situation was for the reasons you said. Like, especially looking at a game like Cyberpunk, where it is so choice-driven and player-driven in terms of how you steer the story and how you make decisions and all that stuff. Like, I don't think there's one sentence, and somebody's going to challenge me and then, like, DM me or something, but I don't think there's one sentence you can spoil Cyberpunk with. Like, even if it is, like, a X, Y, and Z die at the end, right? It then becomes the question of like, well, do they have to? And also, who are they?
Because
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know these characters. But as a PSA, yeah, stay safe out there, right? Like, be aware of where you're looking. The game is out, or yeah, the game is in at least some people's hands. That said, that means it's near. I'm very excited about it.
It's Tim, so close, man.
What are your hype? Like, Gray asked me this a while ago, and it made me pause and think a bit. Do you think Cyberpunk could possibly disappoint you at this point?
I mean, yeah, definitely. And disappoint me, I think, is less important than disappoint the general public. Because there's so many more people that give a shit about what CD Projekt Red has done and Witcher 3 and all of the stuff that, like, I don't have that legacy. I'm coming in as a newcomer. And I'm looking at this as, if they're ever going to get me with this type of game, Cyberpunk is it. Cyberpunk is dope as hell looking. And everything about it screams my aesthetic, and I'm super, super down to try this. I love that it is the bleeding edge of tech when it comes to ray tracing and all this stuff, and I'm gonna play it on PC. Like, I'm excited for this. It's going to be a next gen experience, right? So all of that I'm looking forward to. I think that there is so much expectation for this game, and you know, there's been so many years of hype. Like, when we first saw the debut trailer for this, I was still at IGN. like, that's pretty crazy to think about. So with that, yeah, there's definitely a lot of ways this game can let people down if it's not a perfect 10, right? And I don't expect it to be a perfect 10. So disappointed, I think, is a weird thing with this game, where if it's not the best thing ever created, it's going to be a disappointment. But I still think it's going to be a major success. And I don't even think it's going to hit that level. I'm feeling pretty good about how this game's coming together. The delays towards the end, obviously, never sound good. It never feels good. And obviously there's a lot of political things to go with that as well. But I'm thinking that this game is going to be something extremely special. And I don't think that that's a hot take.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. The one thing that does bum me out is the next gen versions coming out later and not being there toward launch. And this wasn't the thing that bothered me until I got my hands on the PS5. And actually experienced, you know, like PS5 native games, and have understood the difference between how a Miles Morales runs and looks on PS5 version, versus how it runs and looks on PS4. Like, playing the backwards compatible PS4 version of Cyberpunk still gonna be fun, because it's a game I'm looking forward to, and it's a game that stylistically and genre wise and all these different things, I'm sure it's gonna vibe with me because I like that type of game. But I'm scared my experience might be hampered by like playing it and being like, oh, this isn't performance mode. Like, oh man, this doesn't run the way that like all the other PS5 games I've been playing for the last month have been running. Not to say that's going to affect my enjoyment of the game, but that is a thing where I'm like, man, I almost wish they delayed this so they could have like a parity launch, because I'd like to wait to play this game. And yeah, part of why
it is a bummer for sure.
Yeah. Part of me working at Kind of Funny means that I'm gonna play it regardless. But maybe if I wasn't working at Kind of Funny, it'd be one that I'd wait for. But either way, looking forward to it. Cyberpunk is almost here.
If I'm being honest with you, I'm scared of this game.
Really?
Like, I'm scared. I'm so daunted by the size and scope of it all, where I'm just like, I don't know where I'm gonna find that time. You know, because I want to put time into this, and I want to like let myself kind of sink in. So we'll see.
I'm excited because this seems to be a way tighter experience than you think it is coming out of The Witcher. Because like The Witcher, you hear people talking about putting in like 200, 300 hours into that game. And from what I understand, like this game is probably like a 40-hour experience from front to back, right? And like it's made to be replayable. And so, you know, you're going to have all these different types of experiences replaying it and coming back to it. And I'm sure going and doing side quests and all that stuff is going to extend the time way beyond 40 hours. But the idea of a tightened up CD Projekt Red game, CD Projekt Red deep RPG that you can do what you want, behave how you want, like choose your life path, all that stuff. That sounds very ideal to me in a way that if it was a 200-hour long game to mainline, you know, I'd be like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, that seems like a big commitment. Like, I like the fact that it seems like it's going to be pared back a bit in terms of that.
Yeah. And I've never really played a Western RPG.
Really?
Like, not this type. Like, I, you know, I never really played Fallout or any of that stuff. So it's like, I'm a Final Fantasy guy. And if I can put 40 hours into Final Fantasy VII Remake, I can at least give this one a shot.
I'm excited to see what you think, because I think if everything goes right, this could be the game that turns Tim Geddes into like a Western RPG fanatic.
And that scares me.
That could be so cool.
Happen, but we'll see. We'll see.
We shall see. Story number three. Speaking of JRPGs, there's a new The World Ends With You game that's been revealed.
What the living fuck?
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
This is from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. Cool, and I have a trailer here, Kevin, for you to play in the background as I read through the story. Cult Square Enix role-playing game, The World Ends With You, will get a follow-up nearly 14 years later. The original The World Ends With You launched in 2007 on Nintendo DS, though found a new lease of life over a decade later with an enhanced final remix version for the Nintendo Switch in 2018. Square Enix's long-awaited second game, Neo, The World Ends With You, will launch for Nintendo Switch and PS4, yes, 4, in summer 2021. Once again, the action will take place in a stylized version of Tokyo's Shibuya District, where a set of fresh and familiar faces will be back to battle for survival. This time around, Shibuya is created in full 3D, but it keeps the original comic book aesthetic. Tim, they bring back The World Ends With You, but they refuse to do anything with Jeff Force Gemini. What's wrong with this world? You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean at all. Did you ever play World Ends With You?
No, I didn't.
I feel like it is a bless-ass game, man. Just the whole vibe of it. There's like this hip-hop aesthetic to it that I think that you would really, really dig. Having said that, the little I played of the Switch version, just it didn't have the same kind of magic like the remake of the DS one. At least not for me. I think to me, The World Ends With You was very much a time and place situation. And looking at this, I'm shocked it's happening. I'm so stoked for the people that have been like waiting for this for 14 years. I can't say that I'm excited for it. It doesn't look like what I'd be looking for from a 2021 World Ends With You game. But hey, I hope I'm wrong. I just like, I look at this and I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to be a solid 7.5.
Oh, really? Like, what about it doesn't speak to you?
I don't know. It's just like, it looks kind of generic. Like, it doesn't look like it's taking what made World Ends With You necessarily special. Like, that, there was like gimmicks associated with it, like being on the DS. Like, there was like something that was like, oh, cool. Whereas this just kind of looks like a.
Let's put out another one.
Like, just a game.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, cool. You run around, you're slashing. The boss looks kind of cool. I like that there's a big boss, but again, that's not something that necessarily screams World Ends With You to me. But again, hope that I'm wrong. I hope this like gives everybody that's like super stoked for it exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah. You're absolutely right that The World Ends With You comes off as like a bless-ass game, because it looks like, it's always reminded me of a fusion between like Persona and Jet Set Radio. Mm-hmm. Like it has the vibes of if those two did a fusion dance, which speaks to me. Like I'm very into those things, but it's always been one of those things of like, all right, like, do I want to put, I don't know anything about The World Ends With You outside of the trailers I've seen. And like, it's one of those things of like, do I want to put in time to this thing that looks cool, but also like at this point is old. And I get like, Neo, The World Ends With You, right, is going to come out and it's going to be new. But I get similar vibes as you, where I look at it and I'm like, all right, yeah, this looks cool, but I don't know, something about it doesn't speak to me all the way. And who knows, maybe it comes out and I end up playing it and falling in love with it.
Errol M in the chat says, generic with its unique art style? Okay. It's just like, I feel like that art style was unique in 2007 or whatever it was when it came out, but we've seen so many things similar in the last generation that it doesn't really have that special something anymore, and that's missing. And then someone else in the chat, I lost it, but they're like, yeah, this looks budget as hell, and it kind of just does have that budget vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like a real sequel to the game. It kind of just looks like, oh, here's like a spinoff, and I'm like, that's not necessarily what I would expect if they were to ever do a World Ends With You sequel so many years later, but it's what we got.
Yeah, and I'm happy to
expect anything from Square. Let them just give you things and then decide if you like them or not.
Yeah, and then respond.
Expect a single thing.
But yeah, no, I'm definitely though happy for the World Ends With You fans. I saw the pop on Twitter when they posted this, and I was like, good for y'all. Like the shift to 3D, it seems like it's going to be a bit bigger. Like, good for y'all. That seems cool. Speaking of The World Ends With You, there's also an anime incoming. This is Jordan Alleman at IGN. Square Enix has revealed that the anime adaptation of The World Ends With You is coming in April 2021. You can watch a new trailer for the anticipated adaptation in which protagonist Neku Sakuraba saunters around Shibuya and sets a frog on fire, among other things. The final screen for The World Ends With You, the animation's latest trailer, notes a release window of April 2021, so fans won't have to wait too long for it either. Cool. You gotta love the anime adaptations to video games. Did you ever watch the Devil May Cry anime?
I did, which is a weird thing for you to bring up, because that's a weird show.
I remember watching it. I forget if it was like on Netflix or how I watched it, but I watched it when I was like in high school, and I remember being like, yo, this is kind of sick. Like, this is kind of dope. And I went back recently after DMC5 came out, or Devil May Cry 5 came out, and I was like, all right, maybe this wasn't as cool as I thought it was.
It had a unique style to it that back then, I feel like I had a similar experience to you, where I vibed with it. I mean, I love Devil May Cry. The story was weird. There was that little girl, and it's like, okay, cool. Dante's a babysitter now. All right. Not the plot I would have thought you'd go with, but sure.
Yeah. No, you got to love it. Shout out to anime adaptations of video games. Story number 5, this one's a heads up. There's an autosave bug in Watch Dogs Legion. This is Joe Screbbles at IGN. Watch Dogs Legion has had a widespread issue in which autosaving simply stops working on Xbox Series X, an issue Ubisoft is now aware of and will release a fix for in early December. It's not clear what causes the bug to kick in, but players report that hours of progress can be lost after autosave seemingly stops working or ignores recent checkpoints. It's a particularly serious issue given that Legion doesn't allow manual saving, and console versions only have a single autosave slot. The problem seems to only affect the Series X version of the game, with multiple players reporting the issue on the Ubisoft forums, Twitter, and in emails to IGN. Off of this, Wispa writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, hey, Blessing Tim. So Watch Dogs Legion is currently unplayable on the Series X. The autosave feature is bugged, and for some bizarre reason, the game doesn't include a manual save option. So every time you close the game, you're likely to lose game progress. According to the Watch Dogs Twitter, there won't be a patch to fix this feature until December. I was unaware of this issue before I picked up the game in the Black Friday sales. I've lost progress from all three times I've sat down to play the game, with various ranges of progress lost. First time was just a cutscene, second was one mission, and third time was 3 to 4 hours of tech point gathering and team recruitment. Seeing as it's nigh on impossible to progress in this game, do you think major bugs like this should be placed in a warning before buying the game, or placed in the game descriptions on Xbox/PlayStation stores, etc., or does it fall to the consumer to research any possible bugs for any game they plan to purchase? Thanks, Wispa. It's a big question here, Tim.
It is.
Whose responsibility is it with this stuff?
It's very interesting, and I don't know that there's an answer that can be placed across all games, right? Everything is kind of like case by case with this, because I think that the requirements of like what would need a warning and what wouldn't need a warning, like what is that line, right? Mm-hmm. What qualifies as game breaking? What qualifies as like hindering your experience to the point of needing a kind of disclaimer? Having said that, I do think that there are some things like this that are like really egregious and like really a bad look for the game, especially a game as big as Watch Dogs, right? But I don't know. It definitely can't fall on Xbox or PlayStation. It would have to fall on Ubi to do that. But it doesn't really behoove them to do that, so I don't see them ever doing that. They'd rather spend the time fixing it. At least that's what they would say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I also don't know if it's necessarily should fall on the consumers to look for if there's any bugs. You should just expect that the game works. But
yeah, it's a rough one. Because like, I think this is somewhat of a unique situation, because ideally, I think this would have been caught in reviews and in coverage of the game leading up to release. Both Watch Dogs Legion and the way it released, right? Like, it came out on the Xbox One and the PS4, like, weeks before it came to next-gen systems. And with that, like, you imagine that reviewers are probably not reviewing, or at least many reviewers aren't reviewing the next-gen version of the game. And so with that, like, it probably goes under the cracks, and then people get their hands on it and they're like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with this version of the game? I didn't hear anything about this. And so I think in that regard, it kind of sucks. But then also, yeah, like, in terms of whose responsibility it is, I mean, I think ideally and like ethically, it'd be awesome if Ubisoft and big companies like put that in their description, or like noted somewhere that, hey, if you're going to buy this, just know game's broken right now. Like, this shit isn't working. But to what you said, it doesn't necessarily behoove them to do that. And of course, like, if they do that, they're probably doing more to their own selves, more harm than good in terms of game sales, even if it's probably the right thing to do. It's a complicated one. And again, like, very unfortunate. Like, I remember this kind of reminds me of like when I would go to buy games before I was like super tuned in to the industry and reading news every day, right? I remember buying Brink for the PS3 in like a bargain bin, and I was like, oh man, I remember watching the trailer for this game. The trailer for this game looks fantastic. Oh, it's only $5 now? What? Man. And like, I remember buying it, getting home, putting it in, being like, oh, this game fucking sucks. And like, that was, I mean, technically that was on me, right? And like, it's somewhat of a different issue because that game didn't have a save bug. It just wasn't a good game.
Yeah.
But similar in regards to like, that kind of came down on me because like, as a consumer, I have the choice to look up reviews and look up what people are saying about this game and be informed. It's a big ball of wax that I think a little bit of responsibility kind of lies within everybody involved, right? Being the developer, being PlayStation and Xbox on the certification side of things to make sure the game works on their system and their platform. And then also, I forgot what I said first, but us as a consumer, right? Like, knowing what we're getting into.
I've talked about this a bunch of times in the past, but Prince of Persia, Warrior Within. I loved the Prince of Persia trilogy on the PS2, Xbox, GameCube era. And in Warrior Within, which is the second game, there was a game-breaking bug right before the final boss where there was like this like bridge you're crossing, and the game would just not, a door just straight up wouldn't open to get to the boss. So I unfortunately got that bug that only came if you saved at certain points, and like, it just like would unlock it. And so to this day, I've never beat the final boss in Warrior Within, and it pisses me off. I had to watch the video, and this was before YouTube was a thing, so I had to like download a video off Kazaa of someone beating Warrior Within in like a proto let's play.
God.
Just to see the ending.
Remember when there was was it Other M that there was a game breaking bug where people would get stuck in a room and couldn't make it out, and then Nintendo would send people SD cards to put in their Wii?
That doesn't sound familiar, but that would not kinda surprise
funny,
me.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if I got that correct. There was something along those lines that happened on the Wii, I think. And like, you know, these things happen, right? Like, especially in QA, where you have a limited amount of people who are QAing these games, and you get the game out in the hands of millions, and then you discover things that you weren't able to discover in your limited team of, let's say, maybe like 20 people, you know, maybe. Like, I don't know how big QA teams are, but they're definitely not millions. Yeah. And so, like, these things are bound to happen. Kudos to Ubisoft for at least, like, acknowledging it and being like, hey, we're gonna put out a fix in December. December seems like a long time, but it's also Thanksgiving, and there's also a pandemic, and there's a lot of things happening. So
that's the weird context to this. Is what sucks is December is way too long for this to be acceptable.
Like, yeah,
we're talking an entire week of this game breaking situation that they're not gonna fix, and it's like, okay, but you know, it is the holidays, so there's a lot of things that go into that. Although they're a worldwide company, and a lot of the world doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, so I don't know. I feel like this should be fixed faster than that, especially when they are bringing awareness to it in the way that they are, which is not truly apologizing and say, hey, don't buy this, which I get why they wouldn't want to do.
Tim, before we make our way to story number 6, I want to tell people about our sponsor, of course. People can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where they can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by What the Golf It's Snow Time. Tim, tell us about What the Golf It's Snow Time.
So you can see it here. Here's the deal. Snow Time is here, baby. It's a What's the Golf update. Greg Miller loved What's the Golf when it first came out. And he wasn't alone. It won a whole bunch of awards.
I also loved What the Golf.
Yeah, including it won Best Mobile Game at the GDC Awards 2020 and IGN's Game Awards 2019. So everybody loves this game. It now has this update. It's Snow Time. The only thing you can count on in this winter-themed Apple Arcade game is constant laughs alongside the goal of golfing just about any object imaginable, including hot dogs, bless. If you ever wanted to golf a hot dog, now is your chance. This features 30 new levels, Snow Scientist, and a limited edition winter trophy. What the Golf It's Snow Time delivers winter-themed comedic gameplay for mobile gamers of all ages. You can get it now exclusively on Apple Arcade. I know a lot of people just got brand new iPhones, and if you did, you get 3 months free of Apple Arcade, so you have no excuse. Go check this out. And if not, you should give it a shot because it is available exclusively on Apple Arcade. What the Golf It's Snow Time. Something that I really liked about this, Tribant, the developers behind the game, think that hitting things and seeing them fly is by far the most fun part of golf. And I agree. Like, when you think about it that way, there's something nifty about just hitting things and seeing what happens. So anyways, What's the Golf? It's Snow Time. Check it out on Apple Arcade.
Yeah, What the Golf is a great time. It's a golfing good time, some would say. Tim, I want to recommend you What the Golf if you haven't tried it out, because there's a lot of references in that game that I think you would appreciate. There's like a lot of deep cuts. There's a lot of deep cuts, like beyond hot dogs.
Well, I got my iPhone. I got my Apple Arcade. Yeah, so let's go. Dude,
go for it. Story number six. BioWare and Ubisoft veterans create Yellow Brick Games. This is Marie D'Alessandri at GamesIndustry.biz. A group of industry veterans from the likes of BioWare and Ubisoft founded independent studio Yellow Brick Games. Based in Quebec City, Canada, the founding team includes Mike Laidlaw, former creative director of Dragon Age franchise at BioWare, where he spent 14 years of his career. His most recent experience was as creative director at Ubisoft. He's joined by Thomas Giroux, Jeff Skalski, and Frederick St. Laurent B., who collectively have experiences at Ubisoft, BioWare, Electronic Arts, and Activision Blizzard. Yellow Brick Games will be led by Giroux as CEO, with Skalski appointed COO and executive producer, Laidlaw chief creative officer, and St. Laurent B., game director. The new studio promised to, quote, further cement the region's leading role in the global entertainment scene when its first original project, which hasn't been revealed, but already has a team of 15 employees. It seems like the team is not solely based in Quebec City, with Frederick St. Laurent B. noting that the rise of remote work has rewritten the rules, giving them opportunities to recruit outside of the city. He, for instance, mentioned Montreal and other countries. Cool.
Very cool, man. Yeah, man, Montreal blowing up. It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's Quebec City, but it's just, I remember last year, it must have been 2 years ago now, we were at the GDC Nintendo Indies thing, and it was like 10 developers there, and like 8 of them were from Montreal, and they all knew each other. They're all hanging out, and they're all friends. And I just think there's such a cool community up there that they got going on. So, you know, more, I don't want to call them new blood. They've obviously been doing this for a long time, but like more new dev studios, I think, is always a good thing when we're talking about this level of talent.
Yeah. No, yeah. Shout out to new studios. I do want to make fun of them for a quick second.
Go for it.
Kevin, I've linked in the doc page there about us. And in their last paragraph, I have here, I'm going to read the last paragraph, right? They write, Yellow Brick Games is proud to be an equal opportunity employer and strongly believe that the best creative teams are made up of diverse members and strongly encourage people from all backgrounds to apply. Games are for everyone, and the market is global and evolving in real time. A team with a rich mixture of perspectives and skills is best equipped to excel in such a dynamic environment.
Don't do Kevin, it to him, Bless. Don't do
Kevin,
it to him.
If you can scroll down to their team. Tim, what's wrong here? What's wrong with the paragraph I just read in the picture we're looking at?
Man. Hey, well, let's hope that when we look at this picture in a couple of years, it looks very, very different based on that paragraph.
Let's hope, man. Yeah, I don't want to just like roast you for the sake of roasting people, but like it's just one of those things where like I went to learn more about the studio, went and read that paragraph, and then looked down and I was like, whoa.
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 What is this?
Those two things don't add up.
Why did this one guy here look like he was just told his like mom has cancer? And they're like, oh, but we need to take a photo right now. Like, so, you know, try to smile.
Jeez.
Too far, Kev. Too far.
I'm sorry, dude. Look at his expression. Like, something's not right in his household is all I'm saying.
Jesus.
They should have waited to take the photo.
But yeah, it's one of those things, too, where I don't want to go on like a rant or like get on my soapbox. But obviously, like, people will apply places, or people will want to work places where they see themselves represented. And I look at that picture and I'm like, dude, if I was a person that wanted to work in the industry, right, and I looked at that place, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to get a job there because they seem to be hiring a specific type of person. And so, again, like, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. I hope to see, yeah, when they expand their team, that they do include way more diverse voices. And I guess I didn't explain for the people listening to audio, right? Like, the team is a team of like 15 people, and it is all white dudes, just straight across the board.
I don't know if you needed to explain, Bless. They get it.
And so, like, again, you know, like, walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. Tim, I'm really excited to see when more studios in the industry embrace diversity and get in a way more diverse group of people to work with them. But that might be so far away. If I wanted those coming out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Is Kevin there?
Yeah.
Kevin, there he is.
It was muted. My bad.
Gotcha. Out today, we got World of Warcraft Shadowlands for the PC. And that's it. We got some new dates for you, though. Yeah. Defentron is coming to Switch and Steam on December 17th. And then Swords of Gargantua comes to PlayStation VR on December 8th. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write it at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get your questions read on the show, just like BJ Bernardo did. BJ writes in and says, hi, y'all. If Sony decides to just make Game Pass, but with Sony games, what features of Xbox Game Pass would you like to see carry over to Sony's version? Thanks, BJ. BJ then links us to an IGN article that's called PlayStation Seemingly Planning a Response to Xbox Game Pass. It's an article by Joe Screbbles. I'm going to read a little bit of it to give some context. Sony Interactive Entertainment CEO Jim Ryan says there's, quote, news to come on a PlayStation response to Xbox Game Pass, Microsoft's popular subscription-based game service. In an interview with TASS, Ryan was asked about how PlayStation will respond to Game Pass, which has become an increasingly attractive value proposition for Xbox in recent years. While not explaining exactly what the response will be, Ryan did make clear that, quote, there is actually news to come, but just not today. Tim, if PlayStation finally decides to go after Game Pass, outside of just PlayStation Now, because I know PlayStation Now exists, what do you want to see from that?
I mean, just copy it exactly, right? Like, in a perfect world, like, what do I want to see from it? Day and date, first-party titles coming to the platform.
But, right? Like, realistically, though, because that's not going to happen. Do you think that could happen?
That's what I said about Xbox, and here we are, right? I know we're still joking. Oh, we're still waiting for first-party exclusive titles. They're coming. We're getting them. And that, like, we know even way, way, way more are about to come out in the next couple of years. But yeah, when it comes to PlayStation, like, I don't know, like, what the answer to this even could be. Xbox kind of nailed it. They delivered on the promise. Like, with Game Pass having the library that it does, with it offering all of the, I guess, like, a more interesting answer would be some type of cool partnerships a la the EA Play thing or the Disney Plus perks that Xbox has, right? Like, I think that it's cool that it's the Game Pass isn't just the Microsoft thing and the deals they make, but you also get the EA Play, and like, it kind of opens up the library that much more.
Yeah, like, I'm basically right there with you, right, in terms of like, Xbox Game Pass pretty much has it figured out. Like, I was thinking about this just the other day, you know, just I was scrolling through Xbox Game Pass and thinking about how, you know, we've had the discussions in the past about, is this going to be the ubiquitous way in which we start interacting with games? The way in which we start buying games, right? Like, are we going to be on the side of, hey, I'm getting everything on Game Pass. I'm getting everything via subscription service instead of buying games piecemeal. And I don't know if we're ever going to make that jump fully, but Xbox Game Pass does feel like it's hit its near peak in terms of, yeah, this has cemented a way in which people are playing games now. Like, I was talking to my sister on the phone yesterday, and we were talking about like Christmas and stuff. And she has two kids, right? My two nephews. And I was talking about, hey, I was thinking, I asked her, I was like, hey, if I gave them my Xbox, like, would you be cool with that and stuff, right? And like, I was kind of going through the motions in my head of like, yeah, if I get them an Xbox and then get them Xbox Game Pass for a year, my sister won't even have to worry about like games.
Period.
And yeah, and like they can just coast off of that, like off of a bunch of games. And like, that's an incredible thing, right?
Totally.
That for such a little investment. That good. It's such a little investment, and it works so good that it can become the core way in which you play these things.
So yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing, and especially when you look at Xbox with the backwards compatibility and like how vast the library is on Game Pass going through Xbox's history. That's what I'd love to see from PlayStation. Like, and that is equally as like, yeah, not really a chance. We're not going to see that. But how dope would it be if it just worked?
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, do you think we'll ever get Nintendo Game Pass? You have it a little bit already. I mean, with NES Online and SNES Online.
And those get so much hate, and people shit on them all the time, and they are not perfect by a long shot. Why did Donkey Kong Country 2 just get there? Why is there still no Earthbound? Yeah, there's so many like bizarre choices like that. But it is insane that on my Switch right now, I have the collection of NES and SNES games that I do. Like, all available. Whenever I want to play Super Metroid, it's there, and I don't need to pay another $5 to download it again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times are we going to rebuy all of these games to have the collections? So the offerings are fantastic of what is there. Not to say it's not it's perfect, because it's very clearly not.
Yeah.
And where's N64? And where's GameCube? You know? Game Boy Advance.
It's upsetting because I feel like we use the phrase Nintendo is going to Nintendo all the time, but like, they're in the ideal spot for that kind of service, right? When we're talking about catalog, and we're talking about back catalog that people would actually go back to and play, right? Like, they have that. And if they did go beyond just the NES Online and SNES Online and created this, I'm just going to call it Nintendo Flix, right? Like, they made Nintendo Flix and was like, hey, you know, it doesn't even have to be day and date new games. It could be new games come to it like years after the matter. Even if it was as simple as, hey, our whole back catalog is playable, and we have it available to you through through Nintendo Flix, right? Like, that alone, I think, would make ripples. That would be a huge thing. That would be a huge deal that we go crazy for.
But yeah, again, it's interesting. Nintendo. I mean, I'll never forget how disappointed I was when Nintendo announced the pricing of the Switch Online, and it was so low that I was like, well, there goes the dream. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way they're going to give us what you're talking about for dollars a year. Like, if you have seven friends that have a Switch, you can end up getting Switch Online for literally dollars a year. And it's like, cool, you do that, then you have NES and SNES, and that's nice, and that's cool, but we're never going to get N64 with that. We're never going to especially get GameCube. You know, I would much rather pay more to have all those things. But Nintendo go Nintendo.
You think we're going to get N64 online the way we've gotten NES online and SNES online? Or do you think lost?
I think that's gone for now. I do think, so where we're at right now is we would have got it this year. We would have got it in September had they made the decision to do that. Because they usually, you know, announce the new exciting thing to keep you having your Switch Online thing. This year was Mario 35, which, all right, cool. But I can imagine when the Switch Pro comes out, I can see a kind of relaunch of an online system, and I wouldn't be surprised if we do get something more similar to what you're talking about then. But at this point, why am I trying to get my hopes up? Like, I remember in 2017 we were talking about the Switch launching and like all the ideas and dreams of what that was going to look like, and here we are with an amazing system. But there's just certain concessions that we just all need to be honest about and understand that Nintendo, they're gonna Nintendo.
They're gonna Nintendo. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. Voting Block wrote in and says, Miss News, The Last of Us officially ordered to series on HBO. So there you go. I saw that, and I kind of counted it more toward the entertainment news because we've already reported about The Last of Us HBO series.
On Screencast.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
We talked about that last week.
There you go, yeah. And then people are talking about how there are more people that got the disc version of the PS5. Nail Biologist writes in and says, Sony sold 4.5 million PS4s in Q3 in 2013. That's the quarter that PS4s dropped. And so that's a good illustration. Yeah. 4.5 million PS4s. And so we're talking about over or under that for PS5s. And obviously that's going to come down to like how much they produced.
Mm-hmm.
But if they produce enough, then yeah, like I think they can overtake that. Let's see here. What else we got? What else we got? Greg says, bless, you're right. And then he links to the Kotaku article talking about how people were trapped in a room in Metroid Other M, and then yeah, Nintendo would have to send them a fix to get them out, to fix their save.
Bless, I'm going to read this one from Jared.
Go for
it. On the last show, the hosts were wondering who Toonchi was. It's Lil Wayne. Come on, guys.
Who are the hosts of the last
show? Who the fuck were the hosts on it?
I think it was Greg and Asa Green River. Greg, I get. How did Asa not know who Lil Toonchi was?
Toonchi. Oh, Lil Wayne.
Why does everyone have a second name? You know what I mean?
Why not, Big Dog?
It's rap, Kevin.
I don't know, man.
Everybody has at least like five names in rap. Do you know how many different names Kanye has? It's Kanye. It's the Louis Vuitton Don. It's Martin Louis the King Jr. It's Yeezy. It's Yeezus.
Yeezy.
It's Yandy.
Yeezy. Oh, man. Like, yeah. Yandy. God. The eras. Too many eras.
Too many. Too many napkins. Don't even get me started on how many names Eminem has. Tomorrow's host for KFG look like this. It is me and Greg. And then the rest of the week we have off for Thanksgiving. If you're watching live right now on Twitch, right after this is going to be in review Joker. So get hyped for that. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, Game Daily.
Jeff Grubb says, I've only ever been Jeff.